Let us turn again to the Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 17, verse 8. Matthew 17, and at verse 8. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man, save Jesus only. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man, save Jesus only. It was the time of the Transfiguration, when Jesus' face did shine as the sun, and his raiment, his clothing, was white as the light, when he was showing his glory as the Son of God in our nature. This person, this one person, he was being given for a short time a visible glory in this world, which impressed the disciples, indeed it overcame them, and it lasted only for a short time. A cloud came down and covered Moses and Elijah that were with them and took them away. And for the disciples, they saw no one now except Jesus. And there's something for us to learn there. In various ways, we should see no one except Jesus. That's not meant literally. But as far as having him as a mediator between God and us, someone to stand between us and a holy God, between us sinners and a holy God, here is a provision. And if we're looking for a mediator, we're to see no one except Jesus. And so, in taking his three offices of prophet and priest and king, we are to see no one. As far as these three separate offices, though overlapping offices, we might say, we are to see no one except Jesus. We were considering this morning Jesus as a priest. And we're trying to draw the lesson that we are to see no one except Jesus. But there's the other two offices that we must consider in the same way, though we spent a very short time thinking about them already. And so we will try first of all to think of the second point, that is, we are to see no one as a prophet except Jesus. Someone to teach us. We are ignorant. We do not know the way to heaven unless this prophet, this teacher has taught us. We are to listen to no one else. In our need of teaching in spiritual things, no one else will be effective. Yes, we have to listen to preachers. But the point there is, the teachers must be speaking according to the teaching that Jesus gives. They're passing it on. They're called out by Jesus himself to go and preach the gospel. And when you take together all the preachers that the Lord has called, the aim must be to to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then the final point is, as far as a king to rule over us, we are to see no one except Jesus. Yes, the Bible teaches us about lawful authority. The Bible teaches us about kings and other rulers, and as far as that rule does not interfere with the rule of Christ, we are to obey the magistrate. As that expression is used, we're to obey magistrates. In other words, those who have lawful authority in this world in secular things. They mustn't interfere with the right obedience, the right submission to Christ as the great King. We're to see no one except Jesus only. So these two things this evening, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Christ is a priest and Christ is a king. And we are to see no one else in the kind of context that I have been trying to indicate. First then, Christ as a prophet. First then this evening, that is, in the second place. Now, so much that can be said about Christ was foretold, was pointed forward to in the Old Testament. And as far as Christ as a prophet is concerned, there are these words of Moses, which you have in Deuteronomy chapter 18, when he said to the people of Israel, and it was Moses speaking as a spokesman for God. And the words of God are these, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, like to Moses, and will put my words in his mouth, in the prophet's mouth, and he shall speak unto him, unto them, all that I should command him. Now these words are quoted in Acts and applied to Christ. Christ is the prophet that was to come. He came. And we might be inclined to say he has gone to heaven, and that is true in its own way. Christ in his human nature ascended to heaven, and yet he is very much here in this world. Christ as God is everywhere. Christ is here. And there's a special presence of Christ where two or three are gathered together in his name. We do well to remember that when we come together. We are gathering in the presence of Christ. And perhaps particularly gathering in the presence of Christ as the prophet to teach us. Are we asking him, Lord, teach me? Are we asking, open mine eyes that of thy law, the wonders I may see? There's wonders to be seen in the word of God. Are you asking what these wonders are? Well, will I quote one or two? One or two of these wonders. There's this one, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. And what world was that? It was a world of fallen sinners. And he made provision so that sinners might be made holy, so that sinners might be forgiven. There's a wonder, surely there's a wonder, that sinners who were offensive because of their sins should be adopted into the family of God. Now, if an adoption was being arranged in this world, I don't think the potential adoptive parents would choose a child that was unpleasant in some way. God chose sinners, and every sinner is offensive to him. There's a wonder. And take another wonder. It's perhaps the same wonder, but a different statement of it. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. How wonderful that is. How wonderful it is, even in this way, that it gives hope to lost sinners. They don't need to despair. There's a great matter for us. There's no need to despair. A great matter for us here. There's no need to despair, and that is Christ teaching us. And if it's applied to our souls, what a great matter that is. Christ, the great prophet, that God was to send out, and he has been sent out. And let us remember that Christ is specially where two or three, just two or three it may be. We might speak of small congregations in our time. And Christ is there. Does that not make a huge difference to the county? You count up the people that are there and you don't get very far because there's not many to count. And then you add in one more. Christ is present. What a difference. The infinite Son of God is present. In many places is Christ, according to his promise, present in this evening. Who knows? He can be present because he is God. He is present everywhere. But I'm talking about this special presence of Christ. Let's say Christ as prophet just now. Christ present to teach. And what kind of teaching is that? Well, there's this in it. It's a teaching of the soul. It's an application of truths to the soul so that the sinner comes to realize, I am a sinner. And then there may be this other stage. And God grant that where there is some conviction of sin, Christ may come to that sinner to reveal himself. And perhaps it's this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, if Christ takes that and applies it to a soul, if he comes and opens the eyes of the sinner, and the sinner by faith sees Jesus, if there is faith created in the soul of that sinner by the Holy Spirit, then the sinner will see Jesus. Not see him as he was in this world, as James and John and Peter saw, and many another person only saw his physical appearance and understood nothing about him coming in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. And they never had the eyes of their souls opened to see Jesus as a great and glorious Savior. They heard him teaching, but they didn't understand. They heard him teaching great truths, profound truths, and it didn't mean anything to them. They might have nothing more to say, nothing better to say than this. It is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Ah, there's plenty of that today. People saying, I've been to church any number of times, and I can't make head or tail of it. It's a hard saying. Who's going to spend time coming to church when that's the case? Ah, if there's that thought in anyone here, if you're on the verge of that thought, then let me ask, have you asked the Lord to open your eyes? There's a verse to take with you. And it's a verse to pray. One of your complaints may be, I don't know how to pray. Ah, well, take the words of Scripture. Go through Psalm 119, for instance. Maybe just a little at a time. But how many verses? Perhaps every verse. You should be taking and turning into a prayer. Open thou mine eyes, that I may see wondrous things out of thy law. And what are you looking for? What should you be looking for? It's that Christ Jesus would come as the great and glorious teacher that he is. And if when he gives the Holy Spirit to put thoughts into your heart, thoughts from the Word of God into your heart, that you would begin really to desire these things, that you would wish to have Christ actually teaching you by his Word and Spirit. And he is able to do that. That we would see no man as prophet, as a teacher. And what about the minister then? What about the preacher? Ah, well, there's this. We're to look past the preacher. We're to look to Christ. Never mind the preacher. It's Christ. We need Christ to teach us. Now, there have been preachers in the history of Christ's church in this world, and there were many conversions under them. But you see, the greater matter is this. There were many conversions, and it was Christ that was the teacher. Christ, working by the Holy Spirit in the heart of the listener. It's not that we're to despise preachers, but you see, we're to go beyond the preacher and look to Christ. We can't go to a preacher and say, open mine eyes, that I might see wondrous things out of thy law. But when the preacher quotes such a verse or some other verse, what we're pointing to is this, trying to anyway, that the Holy Spirit, Christ through the Holy Spirit, would open up our hearts and implant in there some truth of God's Word that would have a profound influence on us. Yes, go to him yourself. Look past the preacher. Of course, the Lord has ordained the work of preaching so that sinners would be saved. The Lord has ordained the work of the preacher. And men are called out to preach the gospel. That's the Lord's work. And we should be asking for that. Yes. And when there is no minister to take a service, somebody else might be asked to do it, asked to speak, and the Lord may bless that. It's His own word that He will bless. Yes. But you see, here and at the time of Christ's baptism, at His transfiguration and at the time of His baptism, there was the voice heard from heaven. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. This is My beloved Son, at verse 5, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye Him. And we have echoes of that here. All the echoes through the Word of God, brought to us through the Word of God. And we're to listen. We're to come and hear. And when we have come, we're to listen. That's the mind of God to us here this evening. That we would listen. That we would take in. That we would take away what we have heard as far as possible. Some of us, no doubt, have memories that weren't as good as they once were. The Lord knows that. And yet the Lord can cause various things to stick in a person's memory so that He might use them yet. Yes. And that the Holy Spirit might apply them to one's soul at a later stage. Later this evening, perhaps. On one of the other days of the week, perhaps. And we should be trying to go back over these things. To learn wondrous things out of God's law, out of God's word. Yes. He has that authority. The Father is saying, hear Him, or listen to Him. And how will He speak to us? We're not to go about thinking that the Lord will speak to us in an audible voice from heaven. That's not necessary now that the Bible has been completed. He will speak through His word. He will cause us to remember something from His word. He will make an impression on our minds as we read His word. Make us stop and ponder over what is said. And receive it as the Lord Himself speaking to us. And it can be far more effective than if we were to hear a voice from heaven. Yes. And we can think of Peter. See his wonderful, well, I call it a tribute. His wonderful tribute to his master as the great prophet. I'm thinking of Christ having been in the synagogue in Capernaum. And so many of them flooded out. Perhaps Jesus had stopped speaking. But they were tired of what they were saying. They said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? There was the greatest teacher that the world ever saw. They get tired of what he is saying. He has the best message, the most necessary message to give that the world, that anyone in the world has needed. And it's the case that everyone in the world needs that. Yes, he has been speaking. Now, you might say, and they were thinking that, no doubt, he's not making clear what he means. What does he mean by eating his flesh and drinking his blood? Well, why didn't they go and ask? What does it mean? And if we get into that kind of situation, not knowing what is meant, perhaps recognizing in some degree that it is something significant, why don't we go to him and say, open thou mine eyes, that I might behold this out of thy law, out of thy word. You go and pray about it. Perhaps you have been seeking to find something of significance to yourself in the Bible. You've been reading it, or you've been listening to a sermon, and you say, I don't altogether grasp the message. Ah, well, are there not plenty of prayers you can use? But there's this one. Open thou mine eyes, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Teach me, O Lord, the perfect way of thy precepts divine. Yes. And even to say, thou hast said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know which way to go. And thou hast said. That's a powerful argument, surely, even in the hands of a sinner, in the mind of a sinner coming before God. Thou hast said. And God has said this, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go, and with mine eye upon thee set, I will direction show. Yes, you see, there's the prophet, the great prophet of the church. We're not to look behind him. He is able to bless us. He is able to turn us from our own ways to serve thee, to serve. And that's a great transformation, surely. To be turned from our own ways, to be turned by the Saviour's teaching, applied to our souls by the Holy Spirit. Yes. We're to be asking. We're to set our needs before them. Yes, and I was going to point to Peter. His response in Capernaum, when the Saviour asked him, after so many had left, they had given up. And you see, he asked Peter, or he asked the disciples, in fact, will ye also go away? So many have gone. Are you going to leave me? What did he say? What did Peter say? To whom shall we go? That was the words of eternal life. Can you say that? Have you found the words of eternal life in Scripture? And where else can we find them? And how else can we get a blessing from them but through the teaching of Christ? We need that. Are we pleading with us? Are we pleading with them to teach us? Yes. Have we our eyes on someone else? Oh, if I would hear that preacher. He made an impression on me in the past, and it's all faded. But perhaps if I would hear him again, ah well, it might be that you would get a blessing. But you're to see no man save Jesus only. You are to see no preacher, no prophet, no teacher, but Jesus only. If you think of getting good for your soul from a preacher, Well, it's only because the great teacher, working through the Holy Spirit, has applied the truth to your soul. If your mother got a blessing, or your father, from some preacher of a previous generation, perhaps, it was only because of the great prophet. He was there, and his servant spoke in a particular way, led on in the providence of God. And your parent got a blessing. Well, the Lord is not tied to using any particular means. And perhaps what you say is, if only I'd been alive in that age, or of a sufficient age to have listened to that great preacher, or some other preacher who was well thought of. Well, you've got the means of grace. You've got the preaching of the gospel. But you're to see no man save Jesus only. When you look for a blessing, or when you look to be delivered from your present difficulties, the great thing is Christ speaking to you by his word. And he says, fear not. I am he that liveth and was dead. That's Christ speaking to John. It's in the first chapter of Revelation. I am the one that died. I was dead. I was alive. I died. And behold, I am alive forevermore. That's Christ speaking to us. That's the great prophet speaking to us. If we go past Christ, we have every reason to fear. If we go to Christ, if we listen to him as the prophet who is able to apply the truth to our souls, we have no reason to fear. All will be well. And he adds this, I have the keys of hell and of death. He can lock the gates of hell so that the sinner will never go in. What a blessed locking of the gates of hell. He has the keys of death. Perhaps we can go so far as to say he has the keys of the second death. We must all die, but there's the second death, going down to eternal death. What a great matter, going down. Oh, may we flee from the wrath to come. May we lay hold of eternal life, so that we will have no need to fear. Christ came. Christ is still teaching. We have every opportunity of being delivered from the wrath to come because he is able to save our souls. But we must go on and say something about Christ as King. And the disciples saw no one only except Jesus as a King. And those who at his followers in every generation, they are very much not to see anyone else except Jesus as King. And those who are hearing about him, that is what you need. You need Christ as your King. You need to submit. You need to take as your prophet, your priest, and your King. Yes. And we might well say, what is in Isaiah 26? Other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. Other lords. We followed other examples. We felt the authority of the group we were in. and went in their direction. That's the past. But it might still be the case with some of you. Influenced by other people, you know, like, but there's a change here. They saw no man save Jesus only as their king. And they said, by thee only will we make mention of thy name. We will make mention of God only as our king. We're not going to submit to anyone else. By God's grace, we're going to follow in the ways that he appoints. That's it. Yes, taking Christ as our king to rule over us. There was Matthew, and the Savior met him at his work, and he said to him, follow me. Well, I believe that Matthew already had taken Christ as his king. But this was a call to be one of his disciples in that more intimate way. You can think of those who profess to be learning from Christ as his disciples in a general sense. And there were the 12. Though there was one traitor among them. One traitor. The others were sincere. The others went on. They persevered by God's grace. But Matthew became an apostle. We lose sight of him immediately or shortly after the resurrection. But presumably he went on for many a day, preaching the kingdom of God and calling sinners to see no man save Jesus only, in particular just now as their king. Yes. But it was the call of a king. And the gospel has this in it. It's the call of a king. It's the call of one who has authority. That was what was true of him in this world. Jesus in this world. His call was the call of a king. The call of Jesus from heaven is the call of a king. And that's a great matter. The call of Jesus is the call of a king. It is authority. And it is power. You see, someone might have authority and lack the power. There's been many a weak king in the history of this world. They lacked authority. Jesus does not lack authority. There are many rebels. That's true. But it's not for lack of authority that they continue as rebels. And whenever Christ calls a sinner, follow me, and calls that sinner with authority, with power, that sinner will follow Christ. Christ is speaking to us. Are we feeling his authority? When Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, he can say it with authority. And then no sinner can resist. May we listen to the call of the gospel. May we turn it over in our minds and ask the Lord to appear to us. I'm not talking about visions. I'm talking about the way Christ works in applying his truth. And when he comes with authority, there will be obedience. There's a kingly authority that Christ can use so that sinners submit to it and do follow him, trusting in him. Yes. And you see the effect of that on Saul of Tarsus. The Lord met and met him and revealed some of his authority. And when the Lord appeared to Ananias and told him to go and speak with Saul, and pointed out that Saul was a dangerous man. He was filled with enmity against the people of God. He didn't feel safe. And the Lord, in effect, said to him, he's now my subject. He has been subdued. What he said was, behold, he prayeth. But there was the implication. He's praying now. He's a changed man. Oh, he had plenty of prayers in the past, but they were all spoiled by his self-righteousness. Now he's a needy creature. Now he's asking for blessings in the name of Christ. He's asking for great things. Yes. And that's an evidence of a sinner being brought into subjection to Christ, feeling the authority of Christ, coming before God to pray in his name. Yes. Oh, what wonders of grace. There's a wonder of grace. Saul of Tarsus, brought into the kingdom of God. Saul of Tarsus, subdued, made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Saul of Tarsus, pray in a way that God can accept. You see, the prayer of the publican was accepted. God be merciful to me, a sinner. The prayer of the Pharisee was not. It was all about himself. It was scarcely a prayer at all. He was paying tribute to his own worth, to his own success in religion. No. The other man went down to his house justified, except Saul of Tarsus went into Damascus justified. And the justified sinner is someone who has entered the kingdom of God, someone who has submitted to the authority of Christ. What about us? Can we see any evidence that we have passed from spiritual death to spiritual life? There's a question. Has the Lord subdued our hearts so as to be true followers of Christ? Yes. Remember this. It's Jesus only. And remember what we have in chapter 6 of this gospel, part of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus was saying that we cannot serve God and mammon. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot serve God and serve the world. We cannot claim to be taking Christ as the greatest one in our lives, and at the same time be putting all our efforts into getting on in the world. Yes, we need to earn our daily bread. But what's at the top of our list? What's the great matter in our lives? What? We cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot serve God and the world. We are to see no king except Jesus only. That's it. That's one of the great principles for our lives. We've spoken about Christ only as a priest, about Christ only as a prophet, a teacher, but we're to take no one as supreme except Christ. Yes. We are to seek Christ before everything else, and to seek him now. Hear the voice of the King again when he says, chapter 11, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy. What Christ imposes on us is a light yoke. And we are to submit to him, and he will help us. You see, whatever Christ demands of us, we can look for this, that he would help us. We're to go to him for help. He is able. We do not need to be afraid and say, I cannot cope with this. I am too weak. I will collapse. I will never get anywhere. That's what we're not to say. I am meek and lowly in heart, says the Savior. And he will help. He will give his blessing. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. We might not believe that. That's a pity. That's wrong. And especially it's wrong to think in these terms if we have never tried, so to speak. If we were never gone in obedience to the Lord with a willingness to take his yoke upon us and to follow him. He has grace, unlimited supplies of grace. No one ever took that yoke upon him, truly, sincerely, and failed. Yes, if we find it a heavy yoke, there's something wrong. And the call then is to go to him and ask for his help. When Simon of Cyrene took Christ's cross, we might believe it is the lighter end of the cross that he was left. And is that not fulfilled when Christ lays heavy burdens upon individuals? He assures them, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But let me notice this. I referred to it briefly at the end of the first service. But Christ speaking as the great King at the end of the world, what does he say? When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him at the end of the world, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from the other, the sheep from the goats, and he will pronounce the appropriate sentence on each. Yes, there is the King. The last sight that sinners, those who are still sinners, the last sight that they will get of the King before he will send them away into a lost eternity. Depart, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Yes, but there's another place prepared. And it's prepared for those who believe. It's prepared for those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's prepared for those who have been made ready to take Christ, been made willing to take Christ as their prophet and priest and king. Yes, they have been made willing to take Jesus only. They've been made willing to have him as their priest. They have been made willing to have him as their prophet to teach them. They have been made willing to have him as their king to rule over them and to defend them, to lead them on safely. And he will then say, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Yes. And that's what we have brought before us here. The great King at the end of the world, gathering everyone in front of him, separating them with divine authority, putting the goats on the one side and the sheep on the other, those who have become his sheep, who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ when the others have not, when the others have resisted it, rejected it, said this is a hard saying and gone away after the world. Yes. What about the king then? While we are still in this world, what about the king? The king coming to us with his full authority. And one of the things he says to us is, "Come unto me. I have a feast prepared." Perhaps you remember us thinking about that a few weeks ago. "I have a feast prepared, a feast of good things, a feast of spiritual blessings, a feast of everything that the sinner can need. Come, sinner, stretch out the hand of your soul and take everything that you need. Ask the Lord of glory to put it into your hand, all that you need. Ask the Lord of glory to put into your hand every spiritual blessing that you need. Forgiveness, holiness, the Lord's care and protection. Everything. And you can go to him and ask for blessings for this life also. For yourself. For your loved ones, for your friends, for the cause of Christ." Yes, he has everything to provide. You might think of somebody making a meal for friends and family. And this person buys everything that he thinks he might need. And the people can come to the table and feel fairly confident that there's everything there that they need. And we can go to Christ's table. Christ's feast, it will be abundant. There'll be everything there that we can possibly need. We only need to take it. Oh, sinner, go to Christ. There's everything there that you need for your soul. And everything that the Lord will see good for you in other ways too. But this is the focus just now. The needs of our souls. Forgiveness. A new heart. A right spirit. Right desires. Yes, it's all there. Go to him. Let this encourage you to go. By God's grace. By his power. Applying the truth to your soul. This, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord, bless the word. Open our hearts to receive Christ. Do us good. Thou art able to bless us, and nothing is too hard for thee. Come. Come and do good. Come and do good to our souls. Draw us by almighty power. May we feel thine authority. May we not stay in the world. May we dread that thought. But may we come. May we feel drawn. May the power of the gospel invitation be applied to our souls. Do not leave us to ourselves. Give us humility and sincerity of heart. And may we receive thy word. May we receive Christ in the gospel. Pardon us and bless us. Supply all our needs. Take us by the hand. Lead us on safely. Bring us to heaven at last. Deliver us from a lost eternity. May we be in earnest about our souls. Do us good, for Jesus' sake, amen.